Morning, and God is so good. When I brought the pulpit over this morning, there was this beautiful note up here, and I'm going to read it to you, and there was this beautiful snowflake and this beautiful confetti on top of the note, so it was like just all there like this, and it says, "You've already won the battle over the enemy. Thank you for teaching us your skills," and it has a picture here, and it's got a girl in a skirt doing a hi-ya. And this picture is you karate kicking the enemy that hides in the dark forest. Praise God. Wow. And then circled here is, "Let your light shine, sis." Praise God. Well, thank you. I have to tell you that that brought such a smile on my face to see that this morning. Praise God. That was a beautiful thing. I think I have an idea who left that there. Well, praise God. Thank you, Brother Perkins. I love that. Praise God. Oh, yes, yeah, such an inspiration to me. I'm inspired. especially when it says, this picture is you karate kicking the enemy that hides in the dark forest. I love it. Thank you. I think I'm going to put that on my refrigerator. Praise God. Today we're going to talk about holding on to God's promise. Holding on to God's promise. Let's go ahead and pray first before the word. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give you praise. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you all glory. Lord, today we pray that you would just bless your people. Bless me, Lord, as I teach. Anoint me, Lord. Your word is already anointed. We give you praise and glory for all that you've already done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Our focus verse today is found in Genesis chapter 32. And so if you're doing your reading for the year through, you've read that a long time ago. Genesis 32. And our focus verse is chapter 32, verse 26. So I'm just going to read that, and then the story, we're just going to do a little bit of a recap. The story itself, it says in chapter 32, verse 26, "And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." So where are we before we get to this portion of scripture? We're looking at the life of Jacob, and in this life, we're looking at this man had a battle seemingly from the womb. It seemed like he wanted to struggle and fight for something, and he was holding on to his twin brother's heel even during birth. And then that struggle seemed to just follow him in his life. He had a struggle with Laban, his father-in-law. He had a struggle, and where we find him in this scripture is literally fighting an angel through the night. And in this particular struggle is where we find the beginning of something beautiful. And I've always thought the story of Jacob was a little weird anyway, weird about him being so deceitful and, you know, lied about his to his brother to get the birthright. And I always thought, man, that's weird. But when you see this part of the story, it's almost like in a theatrical skit, there's just a break and everything changes and everything's brand new and different. This is where his struggle seemingly ended and his surrender to God started. And then when that happened, something so beautiful became of his life and the rest of his days on earth. So when teaching this story today, this Bible study, holding on to God's promise, I thought how wonderful would it be for us to take a look at his life in respects to the struggle that he had and then the surrender to God finally and what that represented in his life, in his family's life, to us, to the nation of Israel, and what that does. Then we look at our lives and parallel it and say, wow, there are struggles, right? We have struggles. And then how can we move on past our struggles and to that place of surrender, when we get to that place of surrender with God? And it's a very famous portion of scripture. That particular one in Genesis would be probably one of the most read. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So then I was thinking, okay, you know, Jacob, his name, it means, and we're going to go over the name, the meaning of his name. And I thought, names, isn't that interesting? How many of you here today had maybe a nickname when you were younger? Or how many of you still have a nickname? You do, sis? Did you say amen? What was it? Babe, see? Oh, that's so sweet, babe. I knew that. I just... Yeah. Oh, that is so sweet. Anyone else want to share their nickname today? Oh, good. Sister.
When I was a teenager, I was called Bear.
Bear. Oh. Wow, for all of you bear lovers out there, Lonnie, my sister Sandra. Bear, wow. This is very enlightening. Brother Perkins, did you have a nickname? Oh, okay. You know what? You're going to share somewhat? No. My sister had a nickname. Sheila, why didn't I have a nickname? I think, you know what? Sharon, honestly, anyway, Sheila had a nickname, and because my dad was Cree, Indian, he picked a nickname for her from his language, and hers nickname was Umpsqua, which means beaver, little beaver, Umpsqua. So he'd call her that, and I'd be like, you know, that's just who she was. Beaver. Beaver, bear, babe. Anyway. No. I kind of like to know the reason why. That's kind of neat to know, right? Yeah, that's neat. Well, Jacob didn't have a nickname, but he had a name. And his name means that he grasped the heel, which in a Hebrew idiom is a form of deceptive behavior. So his name comes from the meaning supplanter, and we've heard that so many times, which is interpreted as someone who seizes or circumvents or usurps. And that struggle that he had just started right before he was even born. And that struggle ended at the place where struggling ended and surrendering began. So I really want to focus on that today more, how our promises, holding on to God's promises, and those promises come when we give up the struggle in our lives and start surrendering to God and the things of God. And doesn't that sound like a perfect picture of our life when we come to the Lord? You know, that struggle within us, like, you know what? I know there's something more to this life than just me living. And that emptiness, whatever that hole was in your spirit before you came to him, I had that, just that emptiness where, like, there's got to be more to this world than just, you know, going to work, making a good living, having great friends, doing whatever, you know, just, there was just that hole, that aching, and that was so filled with the Holy Ghost when evidence of speaking in tongues, being baptized in Jesus' name, just being full of his spirit after that initial repenting of my sin, it just, something was full in me, and no longer did I ever feel that empty hole again, that void. It was just gone. Praise God for that. And that struggle, I think that struggle in so many people's lives is that they don't know what that is. It's like they're missing something, and it's not there. And that's the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And when that struggle that drives them to do crazy things ends and that surrender to God begins, beautiful things happen. And then I would just want to ask the question today is there something that you are still struggling with today? Is there something that you're still wrestling with today? And it could be people, it could be fear, it could be your past, it could be a decision, it could be the enemy. Is there something that is causing you to struggle today? And I'm hoping today that with this lesson that I can help you if you are struggling today to get to the place of let's go beyond struggling and let's go to surrendering that to the Lord. And I would pray that the Lord would allow us to look beyond our situation of struggle. And you could use the word fighting too, because it is a fight. It's a struggle to trust him more, that God would be more of our focus than our struggle or our fight, because we are Christians. We just have to have the right perspective and align ourselves up with him again, because God will bless us when we seek him. Amen. Church, have you found that to be true? It's so true. Praise God. And what brought Jacob to this point in his life where he was wrestling with an angel? No doubt we've wrestled with things. I felt like I wrestled with a little bit of sleep last night. Maybe just excited. I'm excited to come here and teach. I love it. So in my excitement, I have sometimes a hard time sleeping through the whole night. But no doubt we have wrestled with things, perhaps even with God. Perhaps we've wrestled with God. But have we ever wrestled with an angel all night long and had our hip socket displaced? And many years before this verse that we read, Jacob, he had deceitfully stolen the firstborn's blessing intended by his father for his brother Esau. Boy, that's a hard thing to swallow and live with for the many years to follow, to think about when you think about what you've done, you know, that trespass against your brother. So when he heard that his brother Esau was threatening to kill him after he had done this, he, of course, was going to flee and take off to someplace safe. So he did. He fled to his family's homeland, and that's where his family had come from. Years had gone by, so there's a lot of story there. Years had gone by, so we're getting to the point where he was wrestling that night. He had wives, he had children, possessions, and he's about to return back home. And when he left Laban's house and traveled to Canaan, he knew that he was going to be traveling through the region that was controlled by his brother Esau. So I imagine he sweat some bullets and had some sleepless nights without wrestling the angel. But he sent a messenger ahead to tell Esau that he had been living with their uncle Laban, and he had acquired many things, cattle, he had acquired flocks, servants, and he instructed his servants to tell Esau to please have mercy upon me, have mercy upon. So the messengers returned to Jacob, and they told him that Esau was on his way then to meet him, accompanied by 400 men. So whatever was going through Jacob's head that night or nights before that meeting, he knew that this was coming to face him. This fight, what he thought was going to be this fight, because he had been warring for this in his mind for years, this whatever was going to happen between him and his brother. So he became probably afraid enough. I think he was afraid because he divided his people in his flocks in separate groups, and he had this reasoning that if one group was attacked, he still had this other group, so he still had half of his possessions and his family. And then he prayed to God, and he said, Lord, protect and keep his family. So after praying, he took 200 goats. And I thought of the number of animals, 200 goats, 30 camels, 220 sheep, 10 bulls, and he gave them to his servants to take as a gift to Esau. And he instructed the servants to tell Esau the gifts were meant as a peace offering. And then he sent his two wives and 11 sons that remained to meet Esau by himself. And he spent that night alone before meeting Esau. So this is the night before. that night, something really unexpected happened. I don't think he got up that morning thinking, well, tonight I'm just going to do an all-nighter wrestling with an angel. I don't think that happened. But that unexpected wrestling match with a man who he later realized was God himself was what Jacob needed at the time, almost like a slap across the face, but it was a slap in his hip joint and a wrestling match for him to not to stop this struggle in his life that it started before he was born, and to start the surrender that he needed to have God be the one in control of his life. So as dawn broke, this angel told Jacob to let him go as they had persisted through the night. Interesting, right? So there must have been enough, let's say, gumption or strength in Jacob to just hold on to that angel man. And that dislocation of his joint, even after that, folks, you're still wrestling, you're still holding on even after that. That's terrible pain. And Jacob refused, and he told the angel, he said that he would only let him go and let him be free if he blessed him. The angel agreed to bless him. And we know that that angel was God himself wrestling, struggling with Jacob. And this place that he struggled, he later renamed. He renamed it Peniel because he had met with God. And that's in Genesis 32:22. In the Hebrew, it means that is the face of God. This is a place that it's called. In the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it says, the place or Peniel of God, for I have seen Elohim. In the complete Jewish, it says, because I have seen God face to face, yet my life is spared. Ooh, praise God. You know, Jacob had struggled all his life to prevail. And first, he tried in birth. Then he tried with the birthright, did he not? By selling deceitfully. And then with Esau, with Laban, and now with God. This became a turning point in his life, I'm taking that as such a focus point in this lesson, is yes, there are struggles, and then there becomes a time when the light is poured onto your brain, and you're like, you know what? I need to surrender my life to God, only to him. I can't do this for all of the other people in my life. It's for God. And he had been given not just that struggle, but he had been given something that night. He had been given a new name, and his new name was Israel, meaning the people who struggle with God and with men and overcome. Israel, the people who struggle with God and men and overcome. Praise God. Let me ask you today, where are you in your wrestling match with God? Are you having one with God? Are you still fighting? Is there a battle that you're still engaged in every day in your prayer time? Is there a battle that you're engaged in when you get up and it's on your heart when you wake up? Or have you fully surrendered that to God? I love when I fully surrender it to God because I feel like I have healing from it. And I am moving on when I don't wake up with that thing on my mind. I no longer even think about it. The greatest blessing to me is when I think and say, wow, I didn't even think about that for a month. It's been 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. I didn't think about that for 20 years. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Because then I know that I have asked God to forgive me of whatever it is, even if it wasn't my fault, whatever. I've put it under the blood, I've surrendered it to the Lord, and I've given it to him. And I find that peace, the peace that passes understanding. And honestly, saints, I crave peace more than anything. I love it. I love it. It's the best. Lord, help us to fully surrender. And I don't know that Jacob maybe would have fully surrendered outside of this battle with God, but guess what? That came to a pinnacle time in his life where he didn't have a choice he really didn't have a choice. It was going to be, you just keep this struggle and keep this fighting up and warring against yourself and your brain and your brother and your lands and your people and your kindred, or give it to God. Give it to surrender to him. I found this poem about surrendering to God, and I liked it. It said, "Lord, my strength isn't in my bones, for they're too weak and frail. My strength is in the knowledge your spirit in me will never fail. My strength does not come from anything that I can do, for I have very little power if it does not come from you. Lord, my strength can't be found going to the gym or spa. It shows up when I exercise to you my holy awe. My strength is thin and feeble, and sometimes I cannot stand. But when I draw close to you, I feel the power of your hand. Lord, my strength doesn't measure up when compared to your own. My burdens would be too heavy if I had to carry them alone." Praise God. Lord, I surrender to you. These quotes I found on surrendering to God, there's three that I found that I thought, there's more than three that I found, but I edited them down to three. These three were my favorite. No life is more secure than a life surrendered to God. Isn't that beautiful? This growing closer to God is not the result of trying harder, but of surrendering more. Praise God. And this one, this is just good. Anyone with the maturity to surrender entirely to God is mature enough for God to use. Praise God. I just like those so much. I believe that knowing from the Word of God just how much our Lord loves us and cares for us and dotes upon us and looks upon us with love in his eye, and we have his favor, I believe by just knowing that, it is easier to surrender ourselves to him. He loves us. We are the apple of his eye. We are his bride. He dotes on us. He favors us. And I tell my family, I said, you know what? With workplace drama or workplace whatever, you know what? Pray for that workplace. That place that you work is favored by God because you are there. You carry his spirit, his presence. The Lord goes before you in every place that you walk. Everything that you say, everything that you do, when you are living in the spirit, your workplace has his favor. And we are then blessed. And today we're talking about the promises of God, his blessings, his life, his hand upon our lives. So I think love is a big, big thing for us to know how much he loves us. And I found this funny story of a third grader who wrote a letter to God. He writes, "Dear God, I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. Dan." You know, love is so important, and we know, when we know the love of God, and this church, we know the love of God, and we get such great promises from the Word of God that we have no shadow of a doubt. It's at our fingertips. We know. And I was thinking, and I always thought this was a Shakespearean, for all of you readers, I thought this was a Shakespearean quote, but I looked it up and it was a quote from Sir Walter Scott's famous poems, and I just remembered it from high school. It says, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive," which means that when you lie and act deceitfully, which Jacob did in his early life, you're initiating problems that have this domino effect. And this structure of complications, which eventually just run out of control, and then you have no control of them anymore. It's just beyond your control. And I thank the Lord that the end of Jacob's life, the end of Jacob's story even, is so much better than the beginning. The story ends with a beautiful verse in Genesis 33:12, and it just says this, speaking about it with him and his brother, "Let us start on our journey together, and may it lead to trust, hope, and peace." Praise God. What is interesting when you read that portion of, there's a whole bunch of reading that goes with this lesson, starting in Genesis 32 through the end of Genesis 33. But when you read this story, and Jacob goes to meet his brother, and you're reading it in the King James, and that's what I was listening to this morning again, it reminds me of the prodigal when the father goes to meet him after he was gone and eating in the pig pen for some time. When the father comes and runs out to meet the prodigal son, Esau in this story runs to meet his brother Jacob. And he puts his arms around him and he hugs him and he embraces him. And I think, wow, what did God do with Esau? We focus on Jacob, right? But what did God do for Esau? His birthright was taken deceitfully, not just by his brother, but mama was involved in all of this. And you know what? He knew that. I tell you what, it reminds me of Jacob. The matter of forgiving, just being able to forgive and go beyond and give it to God, to be able to run to your brother after all those years and embrace him. It just reminded me of the prodigal son. Don't allow your life struggles to take your faith in God. Don't allow your life struggles or trials to take your joy. Don't allow those struggles to take your victory in God. Because we as Christians and believers of the Word can take and put those things under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to carry them. They're God's. He never intended for us to carry these heavy burdens. These burdens are He and I together, praise God. It's so much easier if you're packing a piece of furniture, and I don't try to pack furniture anymore, but if you're carrying something, boy, it's sure hard if you're trying to do it by yourself and maneuver it around a doorway or an entranceway. But if you've got another person or two, and you're struggling through the door, right, Lonnie, with a big old sofa and moving stuff in and out, so much easier with another person. You know what? And with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's so much easier when we embrace each other and use what God has given us as resources. That's a blessing. This lady writes, her name is Annie Johnson Flint. She writes, "When we've exhausted our store of endurance," and I'll say faith, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Christ Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That is our Lord. Praise God. Let our eyes be constantly turned toward our heavenly hope, our Lord, because John 14, 1 and 2 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." Then it goes on to say, "I am going to prepare a place for you." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't fret and fuss and fight and struggle. Give those to God. Let him carry them. Our word faith, that word faith, that faith would increase. And to this year, our 2022 mission statement for SPC is double. And we double. So this year, my prayer was, "Lord, double my faith." That's what I prayed specifically for myself, double my faith. And then I also looked at areas where, "Lord, how can I give double? How can I give double? What can I give to make it double?" And then I got COVID. And then I was quarantined for 10 days. But it did not take my faith. No, I got into the Word, and then I went and had a nap. And then I got back again, and I got into the Word, and I took a nap. And I just repeated that. But you know what? God is faithful. He is faithful, and He has been faithful to us. He has. And I was remembering a quote from Brother Bear. Do you guys remember Brother Bear, the living, walking Bible? He came up here a lot in the early 90s, and I met him in Stockton when I was in Christian Life College. And at that same time, he was coming up here and doing services here and doing services down there. And he said this. He said, "You will go out of church by the same thing that brought you in." We think of people that come in with intellect. You know, they're just so brainiac. They're smart. They come in because they can just talk and reason, etc. And then they go out by the same door they came in. And I believe for myself, and I don't know if it was just the Lord impress upon me to pray for double portion of faith, because when I came into the church, I was that person that would say, "Oh, you know, church is good for all of you weak people that need God, for all of you people." That's what I said. I believe that. I did not have faith in God. I did not believe. But when I got the Holy Ghost and my life changed and that struggle ended and that surrendering began, I tell you what, I believe for God. I believe God can do anything. And absolutely. And I know in Mark chapter 10:27, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." All things are possible, and I absolutely believe that. So I'm that person that's really full. I am full of faith. When I started volunteering at the hospital, I wasn't working outside of the home, so primarily my outsides of the home was church. So the first time I met the CEO of the hospital, you guys are going to laugh, I stuck my hand out and I said, "Well, praise the Lord." I'm not kidding you. And I think now, oh my word. You know what though? It's all good. Why not? And why not? Praise the Lord. At first I thought, oh, I should be so embarrassed. I just here's me, this zealous young volunteering chaplain. Praise the Lord. Shake the CEO of the hospital's hand. And you know, but God has been so good. And I pray that my faith does double. I pray that our faith does double. Because I think when people have faith in God, they are going to not only trust for God's promises, but we are the people that are going to, we're going to live in the promise as though it's already happened. We're going to live like the promise has already happened. And we're going to believe it. And that's the kind of faith that we need to have right now for the people like our forefathers had. They had that kind of faith. They had the faith that when they were in the desert and they could only taste dryness in their mouth and dust, that it was going to rain. They had the faith to believe that no matter what, if they had a sick loved one or loss, that God would take care of them, that God would intercede, that God would help. Sometimes God's help is not the way we perceive his help, like we think it's going to come, but it comes. And when it does, we're like, "Wow, Lord, how did you? I never even thought of that. You did that, Lord." Thank God. Our lesson today is about holding on to God's promises. And the Bible is filled with God's promises. From the very beginning in Genesis, there were promises, until the end in Revelation. And they weren't to superheroes. They were to normal people, like you and me. We're normal people. They received the promises. We received the promises. The Lord has given us great and precious promises. And yes, faithful. To give us hope, to give us joy. You know what? We ought to be the people that when they see us in town, they see hope, they see joy, they see peace. Praise God. He gives us these promises so that we can have wisdom, so that we can have strength for whatever struggle, whatever trial we are facing. We wouldn't be human beings if we didn't have a trial or a struggle. I think we'd be a robot then. Jacob's story was, you know, this beautiful story of his life, his struggles, but his victories also. And those victories, we think, you know, sometimes you listen to these stories and you think, well, that happened 2,000, 3,000 years ago. You know, how can that help me today, right now? The beautiful thing is that we have his word. We have his word. We have his spirit. We have our brethren, one another, to help us. These promises are for us to encourage us that his promises are real and they're there for us. I just want to share a few of those promises with you today. I was like, why talk about all the promises and not give you promises today for right now on Sunday morning? In Joshua 21, verse 45, it says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Praise God. People may promise things to you, but people can't even keep their promises 100% of the time. But praise God for his faithfulness, because God's promises never fail. Praise God. Amen. They never fail. Psalms 119:68 says, there's so many promises. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. He is good all the time. There's not a time when God is bad. He's good all the time, and he does good. So we can think and know that he is doing good, and he is good. He's doing that in our lives. Praise God. Joshua 1:9 says, this is my commandment, be strong and courageous. That's not just a commandment. I'm going to say / promise. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Someone here needs to be reminded that the Lord is with you wherever you go. And praise God that his promises never, never fail. And he is good all the time. He's never bad. He's a good God. And there's confidence in knowing that there's a place that we can go to, the Word of God, speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit, be with our brothers and sisters. There's a place in finding strength and knowing that he is with us wherever we go. Praise God. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken, and we felt some volcanic eruptions and we felt some earthquakes even in the last month here, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, kindness for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Our God is kind and compassionate. And I know a lot of people in the world that are living the way they shouldn't be living think differently of God and think that he is with a heavy hammer like a judge's mallet and just waiting and watching for your next wrong step. But our God to us is kind and compassionate. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love or kindness for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. We are his handiwork, Ephesians tells us, 2:20, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's designed us for a purpose. He's given us these promises. And what the beautiful thing of it is that our purpose will always be to give him glory. Praise God. Always, Lord, to give you glory. Always be to reach for the eternal, the everlasting, the things that we cannot see. Because we can see a lot of things, but what about all those things we cannot see? What about all those things we cannot feel right now? And they have not come to pass. But guess what? We're going to reach for those eternal things and not for the temporal things. When we're reaching for those temporal things, that's where we find a lot of our struggle begins. Because our eyes are focused on things that they shouldn't be focused on. And then we get our struggles and our crazy fighting out of the way and surrendering begins. I know that the Lord just looks upon us and smiles, and we have his favor. Praise God. Oswald Chambers said this. This is a good faith quote. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Praise God. He also said this about faith. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Isn't that so true? Jacob, he had a struggle from birth. Maybe some of you think, man, I've had a short struggle from birth. I've had a struggle since I was a young person or a toddler or whatever. Whatever that struggle was, going up to the time when you got to the realization that there is a God who loves you and cares for you and went to a cross on Calvary for you and would do anything for you, that you could surrender your life, your soul, your mind, your time, your resources, your family, your friends, your neighbors, we can surrender them all to him. Praise God. Praise God. And this last one I found on Pinterest, which I like. they have spiritual quotes on Pinterest. It's not about baking and sewing. Sometimes God doesn't change your situation because he is trying to change your heart. Wow, where is my heart today, Lord? What am I thinking? Where is my heart? Have I surrendered my heart to you today, Lord? Am I done wrestling with you, Lord, and fighting you for every little thing that comes my way or is in my life? Do I acknowledge you, Lord, as my supreme? You are supreme in every way in my life, and I want you to have supremacy over everything. You are great, Lord. And you know what? When we do that, we are really blessed by him. We have favor, and we are blessed by him. Praise God. I'm going to close with Psalms 12, verse 11. It says this: "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." He gives us joy. And I love to see Christians that have joy, because it's kind of interesting to feel different spirits of different Christians. Some of them just don't have joy. I was like, where are you coming from? There is joy in the Lord. We have so many beautiful benefits. There is life in him. We have fullness of joy and life in him. He fills us to overflowing with hope in Romans. We are strengthened with him in Isaiah. He gives us wisdom in the book of James. He has a plan for our lives in the book of Jeremiah. We can trust him in the book of Hebrews. In 2 Peter, because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that allow us to share in his divine nature. Praise God. We are so blessed. Praise God. We'll close with prayer today, and God is good, and we're going to have a great service this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you. We just give you praise and glory, Lord, because you are a God that can be trusted. And we don't have to wrestle and struggle in this life, but surrender our things to you, our life, our mind, our spirit, Lord, and we can flourish and have victory like Jacob did. And we just give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God.